Hey, Project Big Screen listeners, you can find us every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
If your hair isn't performing like it used to, the answer isn't another hat. It's a proactive approach. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist-recommended hair growth supplement brand. It's also NSF certified for sport and the official hair growth partner of Major League Baseball, the only hair growth supplement trusted by the pros. Visit Nutrafol.com, enter promo code PMT. Get $10 off your first month subscription, and you get free shipping. That's NUTRAFOL.com, promo code PMT.
To infinity and beyond!
The Lord tells me he can get me out of this mess, but he's pretty sure you're fucked.
That is why you fail.
You can't handle the truth!
Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe fuck yourself.
Say hello to my little friend!
You'll shoot your eye out, kid.
Say what again? Say what again? I dare you! I double dare you, motherfucker! Say what one more goddamn time!
What we've got here is failure to communicate.
Roads? Where we're going, we don't need roads.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
Get our son.
Happy birthday, Polly.
The following show was pre-recorded in front of a live studio audience.
Everyone, welcome. My goal is just make you laugh and put a smile on your face.
Big thank you to Jimmy Fallon. Jimmy will be back. Jimmy is warming up the crowd like Ellen did last Thursday for us. So Jimmy's sticking around, and he's going to do a quick interview with Adam Levine coming up. You guys excited? We're here at the IKEA in Northwest Atlanta. Very cool spot, huge studio audience. I didn't know they had an arena like this here. Very excited. What's going on? Happy Super Bowl Sunday, especially because most people will be listening to this after Super Bowl Sunday, but this is a pre-recorded show, as you heard before the intro, so we don't know what happens in the big game, and we haven't seen any of the cool trailers yet, but what's going on otherwise?
Oh, what about this setup we have? We all have Fjorn chairs, which are extremely comfortable. And our laptops and microphones are in front of us on our Bjorg desks. I yes. Love it here.
Them supplying this is great. They supply lunch, got some nice Swedish meatballs, some French fries. I think that's about it, but it is very tasty.
Yeah. The big shout out to IKEA for giving us terrible food and having an, I'll say this. I know they're hosting us, just not a fan of IKEA. Just not an IKEA guy.
It's okay. I mean, they're not paying us. We're just here.
We're just here.
Yeah.
It just felt bad. We weren't allowed into any of the locations of the media center all week. So it just felt bad. And they hosted us here.
But yeah. Did Donnie live in an IKEA for a night or something? Or
it was like a, his Donnie, our guest, Donnie does from, he lives in China, works for Barstool. His intern slept in an IKEA one night.
Hell yeah.
And it somehow evaded getting arrested. Was just discovered early in the morning.
King shit only.
His, actually, funny enough, I was going to bring, that's very strange that you asked that because this was not prompted. I was going to bring up the fact that Donnie's intern posted an Instagram story of him. He's moving to China, I think. I'm not sure if he's living with Donnie, but he flew his entire leg from Detroit to Shanghai in a middle seat.
Oh, God. Oh, my God. That's like 16 hours.
Yeah, right.
And Donnie's intern is not like a, he's taller than all of us. Like, he's a decent sized kid. And he posted a picture, and you see his legs scrunched up against the seat, and it made me I got anxiety thinking about that for 18 hours.
I was in a middle seat when I flew to London in 2012, and it was a very nice airplane. I think it was one of those 777 Dreamliners or whatever the nice newer Boeings are, but they're not as big anymore because that's their new model. Our new model is in the last 15 years, and it was 7 hours and it wasn't comfortable. I couldn't imagine being on one of those middle seats for 16. Jeez.
Oh, no,
I want to find that two story United, I think it's Emirates plane, right? That does that.
The Airbus 380.
Yeah.
Why do you know so much about planes?
I like looking up the Airbus stuff.
And yeah.
Boeing and like what they make. They're cool planes.
You don't know about the battle that Boeing won between Airbus and Boeing. So Airbus went bigger planes with more capacity, and Boeing went smaller planes with more fuel efficiency, and the fuel efficiency is winning out.
Go figure. I'm not sure how that works out. I wish we could have flown in the Concorde. That could have been the first LCB group trip.
I actually, Concorde, great plane.
You've been on a Concorde?
No,
Jeff's been on a Concorde, right?
No, I haven't.
Oh, the way you laughed, it sounded like you're about ready to brag.
The last Concorde took flight, like what, like the early 90s?
Yeah.
No, it was late 90s because there was a wreck, a Concorde crash, and that's pretty much what
it wasn't
worth it. Yeah. But no, I think it was like early 2000s.
I just watched a couple airline first class review videos from our favorite YouTuber, Casey Neistat. Just watched a couple. He was taking a shower in one of them.
Sup, YouTubers? Yeah. Just sitting here in first class with my very good friend, Wesley Snipes. Wesley Snipes, go away, please.
Wesley Snipes is a big fan of him, actually. He chased him down in the video. I was very surprised.
The airplane.
Give me money.
The Emirates first class and all those planes.
Yes.
Those are maybe the least relatable social media posts of all time. Like the points guy and the travel guy, and they're reviewing first class. What are they, $18,000 a ticket?
Yeah, points guy. Come fly in this cabin to Dubai just because.
The first time I was introduced to the idea of miles on a credit card, like I got an airline based credit card. And like, yeah, like you sign up with this, you get 30,000 miles. And I was like, damn, I can fly 30,000 miles with, if I just get this credit card, I'll do that. But I didn't realize, but like by miles, it was like a point system. Like, I didn't realize that didn't translate to literal miles. I was like, fuck, I can go across the world like twice with this many miles. But it was like, no, you can afford one leg to like Topeka, Kansas.
You are their target audience then.
Yeah, just like an absolute fucking goon moron that just sees miles and they're like, oh, so obviously literal miles.
Are we going to tee up some points guy slander, Trill?
No, I like the points guy, but okay. The whole niche of and it's not the points guy specifically. I enjoy those posts, but they're very unrelatable because one, I never travel there, and two, I can't afford it. But the whole grift behind like saying you got like all your, like in the early days of it, all your miles were comped when in fact, like you probably just had your parents' credit card. Mm. It's like, oh, I had like a bunch of points, so I flew to Dubai. And it's like, well, how'd you get those points?
Didn't some, I want to say like a Chinese billionaire, like bought some insanely expensive piece of art, like $150 million piece of art on a credit card just so that he could have like basically free airfare for life, right?
I don't know that story.
I'm not sure. I mean, American Express Black Card is the only one that would probably let you charge $150 million.
let me see if I could find it. But it was like he had like the miles that he racked up with the purchase was like, yeah, me and my family can fly anywhere we want for the rest of our life for free.
We talked about this before. In the 80s, there was one of the major U.S. airlines introduced this like premium membership where you could buy this card, which was a huge investment, and you could basically fly anywhere for life. And then all of a sudden everything flipped and they realized that people who bought these cards were taking advantage of it because it's an awesome deal.
$170 million painting with this Amex just for the points.
Fuck that.
Holy shit. So many points.
So big Super Bowl show here. We're going to do a Super Bowl halftime show draft. Who can draft the best? Now, this is interesting. And it's only post 2000 Super Bowl halftime show. This is interesting because there's only been 19, obviously, since 2000. And I would say a vast majority of them were not good.
Mm-mm.
Like after about six or seven, I realized that I'd be picking at least one or two that I hated because – okay, it's four of us. Only three of them aren't going to be picked, and there's at least eight I would never pick if you gave me four free range picks.
That's where the fun. That's where the fun of the draft comes in. When we're having to decide between the Rolling Stones or fucking the Who.
We're going to have to do drafts of things with less options. I like this. This makes it more. Makes it tougher. And we're going to do for the first time a random live drawing of who will go first. No more audience goes first or last alternating. You guys may go first every time or last every time. We're going to make it, going to randomize it. All right. And actually, before we get into news here, Jimmy Fallon, Jimmy's going to talk to Adam Levine for a bit. Adam Levine, big Super Bowl performance later today. Jimmy, got a couple questions for him?
How's the voice, everything going over there? How's our buddy Blake Shelton? And I know he's
great. Everyone's great. Blake's still stupid.
All right, we just got word that Jimmy had a laugh attack or something and might have blown out a lung laughing too hard. He is on his way to the hospital now here in Atlanta. We hope to have him back by the end of the show so we can introduce the final live performance from Adam Levine. All the best to Jimmy, right, guys?
Yeah, thoughts are out with Jimmy.
Shout out, Jimmy. We're all laughing with you.
Again, this is being recorded before the Super Bowl. That's why we don't have any comments on the trailers being released today, which include Avengers Endgame, another Hobbs and Shaw trailer, which we will talk about the main one that was released on Friday in a second. Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark from Guillermo del Toro. Poster was released for that. And then Toy Story 4. There will be no Aladdin trailer, no Child's Play trailer. And if they did happen, then I don't know. I guess I look stupid, but they're saying they won't be happening. So I don't know. I tossed around maybe Ken Jack and I will record something later, but we'll see. I don't expect much from the Avengers Endgame trailer. I don't think we're going to see much at all. All right, psych. Right? Borat not joke. We actually did record something. I believe I just said we're recording this after. Before I've edited, I believe I just said that we didn't have time or we did this before the Super Bowl. Well, we're here in the Atlanta airport. We're going to keep that bit going. And we're recording after the Super Bowl. We just saw all the trailers. We saw the halftime show, the commercials, and what some would consider to be a game.
Normally I don't like to record at night, but I feel like this is a therapy session. Because I feel like all the joy in my life is gone.
We're all AFC West victims, or AFC rather victims. So we've all been in the same boat over and over and over again. So I think we empathize with each other.
Yeah, I can't really relate. My team hasn't faced the Patriots in a time where
it matters.
You know, the Browns' best season the last 15 years was the year the Patriots went 16-0. So that's about as close as it gets. So we'll get to the game. What you're going to hear the rest of this podcast, this is going to be a weird podcast to listen to for many reasons, but you're going to hear three fairly inaccurate Super Bowl predictions, though, to be fair,
I was closest.
I think in concept I was closest.
Well, okay, Kendra, you were for sure not closest because Cheryl and I actually predicted the winner.
No, I mean the score was.
Oh yeah, that's fair.
My concept was we were going to get a shitty Super Bowl.
That's true.
Like well, you I said, just, a blowout.
I got the score wrong, but it was a shitty Super Bowl. So spiritually, I picked up the vibes of it being a shitty Super Bowl because we've been on a streak of good ones.
It was a different type of bad, though. You said it was going to be a blowout. That was never in contest. This game was in contest until the closing 5 minutes.
It's horseshoe theory, man.
No, that's not the same thing.
No, not.
That's a false analogy. That's a false.
Regardless, we were all wrong to a decent amount, a decent degree.
Well, it's pretty crazy because we were sitting here in the airport and we pulled up to the Chili's bar and we sat next to the Krasenstein brothers, Kenjack and I. We watched the game with them.
Yeah, it was pretty fun.
That was cool.
And we watched with the rest of the members of Outkast.
Yeah, who they weren't all invited, which is unfortunate. What else? You're also going to hear something very funny. Let's start with the halftime show, then we'll get to the trailers. So we did a halftime show drafting the halftime show since the year 2000. Do you want to let everyone know what your fourth pick was now, or do you want to do a preemptive apology without context?
Okay, so I put an apology up on the Reddit because I knew this was coming, but now I'm glad I get to vocalize it in the podcast. I was wrong because what we had left in the draft, pretty much, I had the last pick, and it was The Who, the Rolling Stones, and maybe Shania Twain. And I went and picked the Maroon 5 preemptively one because I thought, okay, it might be at least entertaining, but it wasn't. It was very bad. It was very, very bad. It wasn't that it was like a bad performance per se. Like, I thought the Black Eyed Peas was just a bad performance. I thought it sounded okay. It's just a standard live performance. It just was so boring.
They didn't sound like they wanted to be there.
No, it was so lackluster. There was just the most exciting thing that happened was just funny. And it was the SpongeBob thing, which did not go how I thought it would go, because all it did just showed a clip from SpongeBob.
And your source, by the way, I'm not going to rat out your source who said it was in the show, really, really stretched the meaning of the SpongeBob things in the Super Bowl show to the extent.
Also said the show was fantastic, which was blatantly untrue.
So a lie and a very incorrect statement.
Yes. I'm talking about the SpongeBob thing then led into a CGI meteor, a very bad CGI meteor. Like you had 5 minutes to edit it in After Effects, 2 minutes before the game started, bad CGI meteor. And then it led into Sicko Mode by Travis Scott.
And that was the second best part of the whole performance. And the CGI meteor looked like from the original Tomb Raider games. It was horrible.
Yeah, it looked like something like that would be in a YouTube video that involved the Requiem for a Dream soundtrack, like playing very loudly over it. That's what it looked like to me.
It's like the guys who make their own Star Wars movies on YouTube. This is their level of CGI effects. And the whole Super Bowl show reminded me of it felt more lackluster than the cutting out of the stadium into a halftime performance during the national championship game. Like it felt like it had less energy than that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? Like the Imagine Dragons. I like the Imagine Dragons more than this shit. I'm going to come out and say it.
The best part of it, I thought, was Big Boy. He had the most energy, but even then it gets sapped out. And the same thing with Travis Scott, like by Levine just standing there, just like doing his weird shuffle dance and like chiming in with his own tunes. When you could tell, like, all three of the people who performed there were very clearly nursing hangovers. Like, they were very tired and maybe working off like a coke high because they were not there.
I wonder if Levine was sick. He did make a comment about the Super Bowl halftime show, so admittedly, I did not read that, so I could be wrong. I do wonder if he was sick. We had him on the show 3 times this week. We didn't ask him.
It was a flu game.
He does, like, there's a performance where he performs Purple Rain. Like, he's a very good vocalist. It's just tough to do that live and at the Super Bowl. But it just was bizarre because the whole shirtless thing, like, I have no problem with him going shirtless. I think he's a beautiful man. But for him to go shirtless at the Super Bowl like that and have California tattooed on his belly, I didn't know that was coming. I didn't know he had a tattoo. I didn't know he was that tatted up, first off.
Your family offended?
No. Yeah, we called in the FCC. We called that.
How'd you explain to your daughter? How'd you explain to your kid?
I DM'd Ed Warder and said, yeah, you're right about the NFL and profanity. No, I wouldn't problem with that. It's just like, I don't associate like a Super Bowl halftime show with taking off your shirt.
Yeah, I guess that's fair. Yeah, I'll say this. I've never associated the Super Bowl with seeing a nipple before.
Well, that was the big joke, right? That there's inconsistency around the NFL's nipple allowance policy during halftime at the Super Bowl.
That reminds me of who was that guy, the security guard from Orange is the New Black, McGarty or whatever?
McCrory?
That's definitely not McCrory.
I don't know.
But you know what I'm talking
about. Trace McSorley?
I want to say Mitch O'Connell. It's Mitch whatever, but he put up the Instagram post where he was him posing shirtless, but he Photoshopped girls' nipples onto his nipples, and he Instagrammed it and was like, yeah, Instagram, try to take this one down.
Here's why I think it's weird, okay? Adam Levine's a very beautiful man, and if he was in Guns N' Roses, a shirtless performance, my brain would be like, this makes sense. This is some hard rock, and being shirtless is really cool. But singing like "She Will Be Loved" in a tank top and then ripping it off to play "Sugar" with like just very saccharine pop music by Maroon 5. Like, I'm having trouble reconciling like the connotation of a shirtless musician with the Maroon 5 style of pop music.
Yeah, that's really fair, man.
It was just bland.
We all missed on that too. None of us got the opening song.
No, we didn't. Well, didn't at all.
I did say they'd do a montage of their no, I kind of missed on this, but they did Harder to Breathe.
No, and you hit it. I'm gonna say you hit this.
Well, no, because I said would they play songs about Jane? And the big surprise was they did almost a full version of She Will Be Loved, which was the ballad off Songs About Jane. I was surprised they put that in there. But they didn't give full time to their first two big singles. And then they closed out with maybe one of the shittiest Billboard number one-ish type songs in the last 10 years, Moves Like Jagger.
That's one of their catchier songs, though. So I guess I see that move. Yeah. I see the vision.
Well, and that's why he took off his shirt, because Mick Jagger is very famous for being shirtless, even at 70 years old, and just convulsing around a stage. And he tried to do it, just didn't have the same energy. It was so joyless. It felt... I don't mean to sound like an old man here, like an old like Twitter rant man, but this Super Bowl felt so corporate and sanitary, even compared to like prior years. It was weird.
Yeah, there was nothing to this that had like a feeling of, I don't want to use excitement, because that's no shit. It was low scoring, not a great halftime, but something just felt empty with this one. There was an emptiness with it.
It goes back. I think this is representative of how I feel about the Super Bowl now. You remember when each Super Bowl had its own unique logo that represented the location it was at? And then 5, 6, 7 years ago, they changed it to have the same logo year after year. It's so standardized that I feel like each Super Bowl isn't given its own personality. They're played in these gigantic retractable roof mega domes for the most part, with windows on the side, and it just feels the same. Anyway, I'm like, that's the rantings of a madman. I'm probably wrong, but that's just how it felt.
I don't know if you would agree with this, but when they didn't really cue it up well, the ending sequence with all the pyrotechnics, like they were like, I feel like if you're going to hit a pyrotechnic note, it really needs to be like with a bang. Like, you need to be at a point in the song that really just accompanies that well. And they just ended Moves Like Jagger and were like, hey, do the fireworks now, because it's all over. Boom.
There's a live performance where Adam Levine like thrusts his crotch and fireworks go off, and it's just like the opening of Move Like Jagger. They didn't do that here, so I guess they missed the boat on that pyrotechnic show.
I didn't know it was the end. They'd end on Moves Like Jagger. Like, they missed out on some really big, nice Maroon 5 bangers.
It's hard to do a fireworks show and things when it's in a dome too, because it's just for TV. So it doesn't seem like it syncs up all that well. Yeah, so the halftime show was a big zero. Big zero. Not the worst. Not the worst, in my opinion, but incredibly unmemorable.
It's
very unmemorable.
It's on par with the Justin Timberlake one.
Yes.
No, I think it's worse than the Justin Timberlake one. But I think it's way better than the Black Eyed Peas.
I don't remember the Justin Timberlake one all that much. That was a year ago tomorrow. The Black Eyed Peas was
so nothing.
Yeah. Well, Justin Timberlake, in maybe the bar, the weird thing for me is, okay, Katy Perry came out in a lion or whatever. Justin Timberlake walked through the stadium at some point and like came out like of a tunnel. And so I kept thinking they were going to do something kind of cool that would like be like somewhat like, I don't know, different. But it just was a straight up live performance, which is fine. And maybe it's on me, but like, don't ride in on a lion and not have the lion there the next year. I'm expecting that lion now.
You need something just as good as the lion. But what would if you rode in on?
A gigantic, a big five, the color maroon. Just a big maroon five.
Do you know how many members are in Maroon 5?
Is this like a Ben Folds 5 trick question?
I mean, do you know?
Five.
It's 7.
Really?
I looked it up.
It's a Ben Folds 5. It's a trio.
Yeah, I was
sponsored at all by Five Gum?
Remember Five Gum? I mean, it's still around. I don't know why I said remember, but
stimulate your senses.
That ASMR commercial.
Well, we'll get to commercials. We got to talk about trailers first. We will get to commercials quick. The few that were I even remember. Avengers Endgame did have a trailer. That was the coolest part of the fucking entire Super Bowl for me.
I want to be in game.
Unfortunately, they didn't use that song. But opens up. You see New York, a pretty grim New York. There's a bunch of boats. Apparently, all boaters were snapped because there's just a bunch of boats all over by the Statue of Liberty and Ellis Island. You see a very empty city field. They must have lost their grounds crew because
wonder how they did the CGI for that.
folks, an empty city field. Was this a Thursday in May?
Folks.
You see Captain America, Steve Rogers, at a therapy group with a sign that says, "Where do we go now that they're gone?" Which just screamed like The Leftovers. Just completely reminded me of The Leftovers.
That's the first thing I thought of, yeah.
Like in my head, I just heard, just that fucking commercial that everyone thought Left would be the greatest show of all time, even though I did like the second.
All right, Leftovers season. Was very good.
I did like the second and third season. First season was, it's okay. I'll punt because I like the second and third. Probably the coolest shot, which is all of them, the ones that are alive, with the exception of Ronan, who they've not met yet in Japan. You see War Machine, Banner, Ant-Man, Thor, Steve Rogers, Black Widow, and Raccoon, Rocket Raccoon walking through the Avengers headquarters. Pretty cool fucking shot. Overall, this trailer had, it wasn't like a different tone completely, but it had a different vibe to it. And I was surprised by how much we got. It was fucking cool, though. It set a completely different vibe and mood compared to the last one, which felt very concealed in like two scenes, where this one you get a little more of the sense of destruction. And Ken Jack, you mentioned in our group chat, this definitely confirms at least a bit of a time jump.
Joe's got nothing on this one.
No, I'm not the big – I like the tone of it. I like the dark tone. I think it's going to fit well. I like the flash at the start of all the rest in peace and peace Avengers who perished with the snap. But other than that, like, I can't really analyze it the same way you guys can.
We should Photoshop Thanos onto that one Instagram of the guy that's like, showed up at my biggest hater's funeral to make sure he was dead. But yeah, no, I liked it a lot. And the fact that it's a time jump makes me interested to see how they're going to loop that back into the time travel and like quantum realm research and everything. Like, is Scott Lang going to have to try and figure out how to work the quantum machine? Because they already have it at the end of Ant-Man and the Wasp. There's a lot of different factors rolling here, but I like the tone of it so far. But also, I was a little confused about why are they going to like a help meeting? Was that like a help meeting for them, or were they just there after a different help meeting? Because I don't think Avengers would go to like a general public help
meeting. No, Steve Rogers totally goes to shit like that.
But he totally gets pissed all the time.
He totally tries to get Thor to go, and Thor's like, get the fuck out of here. We're Avengers. I'm not going to some regular ass poor people's thing. Like, we're Avengers.
Ooh. So we already have it confirmed, right, that Valkyrie and Korg both survived the snap. So how are they going to get back to them is another question here.
Are they confirmed in the movie? They are, right? They shot some scenes, I believe. I have absolutely no idea. I don't know if it'll be through a flash. Like, I don't know if it'll be through time travel, because there's a lot of people in this movie, like the ancient one, Tilda Swinton. She's in the movie, but I don't think she's going to be in the movie in a sense that she's going to be in like present day fighting Thanos. I guess you never know. But I assume a lot of that will be through time travel and going back in time to different Marvel events. So
it's interesting. Yeah, there's a lot of different stuff at play. And I wonder if they can even do, can any of the wizards and witches, whatever, do time travel without the time stone?
True. Quantum realm, I guess. It's all going to be through the quantum realm. So, but it was cool. They showed basically all new stuff. There was not one repeat shot from the first trailer, which last year's Super Bowl trailer had a lot of repeat stuff. So this was a pleasant surprise. This movie's going to make fucking $3 billion.
Easy.
I mean, it's going to make 2.5. That's my prediction right now. I think this is going to make $2.5 billion.
Needs to beat Avatar. Something needs to beat Avatar.
Yeah, I unfortunately don't see it. I really don't. But I think it's going to be number two.
I was hanging out with a friend before the Super Bowl, and we were watching Future Man. And we watched the James Cameron Compound episode, and it makes me so mad when they talk about Na'vi. And she's like, "There is no Na'vi word for wolf, but there is one for website," which I assure you makes perfect sense. It's such a ridiculous fucking movie. God,
we talked about this when I went to the Na'vi park. The employees in Disney have to know Na'vi words.
How many? Like all of them?
They have to know a good amount of words. You have to, they have to be able to reply to you. And remember, they're also, the workers have to treat it like Avatar was a documentary.
Yeah, true.
And not a movie. Yeah. It's just, yeah.
Okay.
And they'll correct you. They'll correct you and say, did you see the movie? They go, oh, the documentary.
Mm-hmm.
About Jake Sully. I like, it's.
How many times do you think a kid walks up to them and says, hey, in Navi, how do you say sicko mode?
In Navi, how do you say family restroom? I got to take a crap and this baby's in a stroller and the regular stall just won't work.
They serve classic Navi dishes from Pandora, like burger pods, which is a bread pod with cheeseburger inside.
Is that real?
I swear.
Oh God.
It's a little dumpling at like bread thing with cheeseburger in the
cheeseburger
middle.
Cheeseburger bow.
That's basically what it looks like.
they just serve like hamburger helper and a hollowed out half orange.
I'm not gonna pull up the menu. I gotta read some of these items.
Who do you think has the best Avatar sex? Ben Schwartz or Joe Keery? Because they're the two guys with the biggest hair.
I mean, do you think the size of the hair is related to the proportion of the pleasure?
I don't know.
Did the Na'vi experience pleasure during intercourse?
Ooh, are they like pure sapiosexual? Like they literally fuck with them. Like I'm attracted to intelligence and they can like tell your IQ and that's like basically how good you are at sex. That would suck for me.
That's what I'm saying. Like they might not be like a pure physical thing for them.
That'd be like the only situation where I'd be worse at sex than I am right now is if like it was proportionally related to intelligence.
Jake Sully and his friends in Pandora love the Pandoran sunrise drink. Tropical juices blended with Powerade melon.
Powerade? What? Oh, man, that's rough.
The whole food service for the Na'vi land at Disney World was just the excess pallets of food from all the Sam's Club closings that happened 2 years ago.
Steam cheeseburger pod. That's what they call them. Steam
Skinner. Steamed hams.
All right. Let's move on to a couple of the other trailers. Alita Battle Angel. I got nothing on this one. But man, they sent a lot of fucking tweets. They had a lot of gifts from their trailers and they used a lot of football terminology to try to tie it all in. I don't know. I hope we like this. Like, I hope we like this to an extent where, like, I like that piece of shit movie that everyone hates. What was it called? Valerian. I really like that movie. I hope this is like that. But
I see it being like a 55 and me saying it sucks, but I also somewhat enjoyed parts of it.
I called a score last time we talked about it, and I don't remember what it is, so I'm not going to call a different score. But I still think it's going to be one of those movies where I know for a fact it's not good, but I personally enjoy it anyway.
Yeah.
Well, don't worry. If you don't think we talked about it enough, we're going to talk about it again here in a few minutes because we already recorded it.
They're losing so much money, and they thought the cure for that was more ad buys during the fucking Super Bowl.
Yes, oh, my God. Just steamed cheeseburger pod. What the fuck?
Yeah, it has a little salad with these little boba balls on top.
Oh, yeah. Oh my God, that looks awful. Is that beet chips?
Yes.
It's like Pandoran caviar. It's just nerds.
So Alita Battle Angel, we'll see. I'm hoping we like it. The Us trailer, the second trailer for us is a really weird movie to type, by the way, when we tweet it out, because it's just a short small word, so I always feel like I have to have the qualifier that Jordan Peele's new movie Us, which we'll get to something else from Jordan Peele in a minute, because Jordan Peele right now is on top. Jordan Peele kind of ruled the Super Bowl in terms of commercials and trailers because he was in three of them, but we'll get to something else with him here in a second. Obviously everyone knows he does Us. Second trailer for Us dropped earlier today. He like leaked it on Reddit and then he tweeted it and then it aired during the Super Bowl, so it got a lot of play today. Second trailer did not have I Got Five on it. Still great. Really fucking creepy. He basically repurposed some shots and different angles of other things he's shown already. And we're like a month away from this fucking movie.
I feel like we talked about it somewhere else in the pod when we recorded earlier, where the Super Bowl audience is so large that you have to imagine there are a lot of people learning about us for the first time.
Yeah.
And so I felt like this ad was specifically cut to be more of a straightforward movie trailer. If that makes sense, it just because it's mostly just the exclusion of I've Got Five on it, because that worked so well. But if you're in a party with a bunch of people and you're like listening to that, it's creepy as shit. And you might, that might be like, if that's your first exposure to it, it's like, oh, that's the creepy music movie that made me feel uncomfortable around like Uncle Joe. I don't want to see that. It wasn't as cool because the music was so awesome. The selection of the music was so awesome, but I think it worked for its premiere ad time slotting.
Yeah, it was built for that exact experience, and I think they did that very well.
Another trailer, Hobbs and Shaw, was basically the same thing, except like I think one extended clip. But I did laugh, and we'll talk about it later. Or we already talked about it?
I don't know.
I forget. But they did show more Hobbs and Shaw, and I think people are still kind of laughing, but are like, you know, this could be badass. Another one, Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. They dropped four short clips or like 10-second teasers. Jump scares, whatnot. But the last one involved a spider coming out of a girl's pimple. That's and gross. It is fucking disgusting.
Mm.
Real gross. And that's the one they decided to air on TV too, which I guess is the right call. You want to go for shock value there, but it is gross. Definitely gross.
Yeah, that's the one that creeped me out the most, the pimple and spider. That's like two gross things to me, like having some sort of insect inside you and then also just spiders in general. Both of those things are very disgusting to me.
Yeah, well, GDT's writing this and producing it, so I'm sure he has a hand in the character design. And Pan's Labyrinth has some of the most disgusting characters. Specifically the one character with
the eyes.
Eyeballs on its hands. Mm-hmm. So creepy. And this book, do you guys read this book growing up?
I didn't, but it is obviously an incredibly popular book.
Yeah, it was real popular when I was a kid, and it was known primarily for its creepy illustrations. So I think it's in good hands with GDT taking his character design team and putting it behind this movie, as you see with that one clip of the monstrous looking woman in the hallway.
Just fucking large. Looks adult son.
Exactly like the drawing and still creepy. That's all I have to say on that.
Yeah, we love you, GDT.
Come on the pod. Discuss Hellboy 2, The Golden Army.
Okay. Good movie. All right, so that's Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. Captain Marvel had another teaser. Is it me or the Captain Marvel trailer is getting better with time? Like, I feel like they learned how to actually put a trailer together, because the first one, in hindsight now, not great compared to these other ones.
Yeah, they're definitely more interesting.
I think it's the music choice. Yep, just saying it. The music. I think the music has been better. I think it's flowed better with the dialogue, which is surprising, because if there's one thing Marvel Studios has been great at, regardless how great the movies are, it's their trailers have always been really intriguing, because they know how to market things well. Obviously, they make billions of dollars. But I thought the first one for this, again, in hindsight, wasn't all that great compared to these. So that was nice to see a little extra Super Bowl spot.
Yeah, that was cool. I think that their trailers have definitely gotten progressively better. And this one was maybe my most favorite, because it was a good combination of some serious action and lines combined with the, humor. And I like that. I can't wait to see it. Apparently the cat is like the best part of the movie.
Yeah, they're saying the cat rules, and I'm pretty sure the cat claws out Nick Fury's eye, because the cat's an alien in the comics, I believe.
What does he say right when he's like, and Winter Soldier, Fury says, like, you want to stay alive in this business, you got to keep both eyes open.
He says,
I don't know if that's callback.
He says something like, the last time I trusted somebody, I lost an eye.
Yeah,
that's like the famous line. So I guess he'd maybe trust the cat. I don't know, it'd be kind of crazy in the long run that he was talking about a fucking cat, but maybe he was.
Did we already make the joke that we hope it's like Hot Tub Time Machine, where the whole movie just teases him losing an eye?
No, but that's really funny to think about.
Very funny.
God, what a funny fucking
Captain movie. Marvel, test your powers on this apple on my head.
All right, two more trailers. One will be TV, but first, Toy Story 4. A little bummed out. I thought we were getting a full trailer. We did not. We got Bo Peep and Woody. Bo Peep is back. Pretty unceremonious return for Bo Peep. They just showed her in the trailer. And also, by the way, PETA is not very happy with Pixar. Did you hear this? They don't, whatever the fucking...
Malark?
No, that, yeah, PETA.
Josh Hutcherson?
The animal rights group, PETA, they do not like whatever the hook is called that Bo Peep is carrying.
Like, shepherd's herd thing?
Yeah, they don't like that. They want her to get rid of it. They want Pixar to take it out. They want her to get rid of it.
I don't like to go off on a lot of things on this pod, but something I will say that I definitively do not like is PETA.
Me neither.
I don't like them as an organization. I think they are they're less concerned with the values behind what they believe than actually collecting attention to what they're trying to do. Mm-hmm. And you get things where they have a dead dog, which I think was like a stuffed animal, but still play it off as real, and then people get mad and they don't understand it.
Yep.
But whatever.
They don't like Toy Story. They don't like Pixar.
Well, I'm kind of with PETA on this one, because I thought I'm Toy Story 4'd out. They're burning me out with all these teasers.
Give a fucking trailer.
Yeah, you can only tease me so much and have so many fucking clips of the new Key and Peele characters talking to each other or whatnot before I just want a trailer.
That's what I was going to say. The Key and Peele, so Keegan-Michael Key, Jordan Peele, they're also in the trailers. That's the second thing that he was in. It was technically the third thing. But yeah, it's two of three things he's in. Us, that. Anything else on Toy Story?
Just I don't know. Got it was a funny. Friend in me.
It was funny. It's time for a trailer.
I like the more of an introduction for, what are their names again? Like Hoppy and Stimpy, whatever.
Yeah, Ren and Stimpy.
Yeah.
I don't know, something like that.
Yeah, I like they're giving them more lines in the trailer because they're such a great combination, Key and Peele. And I just like the way that they weave them into it.
The theme park they're at is actually going to be Astroworld.
Ooh. That's how Bo Peep
to Sigma Mode and beyond.
That's
you've gone sicko mode.
Oh man,
you've gone who's got sicko mode. What's it?
Who's the guy that sings that? Randy something?
Randy Newman.
John Newman.
Randy Newman sing.
John Newman is John? A current singer. Randy Newman is, yeah.
Randy Newman singing sicko mode would make my fucking life.
You got it really deep. You got it really deep for that.
I'm not even gonna try it.
Fuck, I've gone so full sicko mode.
No, but just him singing the actual song sicko mode, like just like word for word, like a cover.
I don't know any lyrics to that one.
I might try it out tomorrow.
In love with who I am back in high school.
I did Papa's day in 13 hours till I land. Wait. Buzz Lightyear with the finger roll.
We might have to try that tomorrow. I think Kendrick, you and I got to try our Randy Newman voices tomorrow in the recording booth.
100%. Let's go around the office. Who can do the best Randy Newman impression?
I think I could get deep enough on that, like Robert Barone. I'll give it a try tomorrow.
Way better. Yes, you definitely tomorrow. Be way better. That's so good. This is such a stupid concept, but it's honestly just endless possibilities. It's so funny.
Oh my god. Last one, Twilight Zone. They teased the Twilight Zone with Jordan Peele. This was a surprise. This is not like an unknown project. We knew this was going to happen, but I didn't realize it was Jordan Peele at first. He's just walking through an empty Mercedes-Benz stadium, walks to the fucking Twilight Zone door, and then you hear the Twilight Zone music. The one problem with this is shit's airing on CBS All Access, the streaming platform for CBS that I don't think anybody owns but two Star Trek fans.
I'm excited for it. My only worry is Black Mirror 2.0.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's essentially what Black Mirror is like based off of, right? Is that same Twilight Zone type thing? It's like independent episodes with their own twist or look on societal something.
Yeah, but I Black Mirror has maybe three really great episodes per season, and then the rest of them are like, "Oh, this technology is fucking wild, isn't it, mate?"
Yeah, is that your 21 Savage impression?
Or these cell phones are proper mental.
That was one of many commercials to air. Did any of them stick out to you besides the ASMR commercial? Obviously, the Game of Thrones one where the mountain brutally murders the Bud Knight.
Yeah, the Bud Knight's a big dumb bitch.
Yeah, fucking big, idiot.
Big dead bitch.
Yeah. Stay dead, loser. And he got fucking burnt to death too after he was already dead.
Yeah, double killed.
Is that mean he's done? Does that mean those series of commercials are done?
Man, I hope so.
Like, that'd be pretty cool if they were just killing off an era like that so unceremoniously. The Bud Knight went from being the savior to just getting his neck snapped by the mountain. Like it.
Hey, the guy goes to call the other person from the "What's up?" commercial, and the line's disconnected. And like that's how you know that that era in commercials was done.
Apologies I to the Bud Knight. I didn't mean to call you a big dumb dead bitch.
I did. I hate you. I think the only other commercial that stood out to me was the Microsoft like handicapped enabled like controller one.
That was good.
That was a really good commercial. That was a really good commercial.
Don't remember. Remember for 10 minutes when a lot of people thought the Big Lebowski was going to have some really cool fucking cool. That's for Stella Artois. Which we knew about because I think they released a commercial like a day ago.
That was basically a Family Guy cutaway gag in a shitty commercial form. It's like, oh, hey, PETA, you remember that time Carrie Bradshaw and the Big Lebowski had dinner with you?
Like that one time the World's Interesting Man showed up at my dinner with the Big Lebowski.
The worst commercial of the night is the Andy Warhol Burger King commercial.
No, that was great. I'm all in. I'm eating my burger like that now.
That was so weird. I don't get it. I didn't get the commercial.
This is it. We're talking about it. That's the commercial.
I think
that's what it was.
It's archival footage of Andy Warhol eating Burger King. And the Heinz bottle actually does look pretty delicious in it.
I did want ketchup. That's the one thing I wanted after this was some fancy ketchup. After I saw it,
I legitimately just think it was so weird. They're like, let's find the weirdest fucking thing that we already own or we can have the rights to. So people will talk about it like we are doing right here. I think that was it. Also, a lot of people replied to me because I tweeted about this and they said they already do this with their burgers, which is okay. I mean, I don't think that's weird.
Dipping it in ketchup?
Yeah, he doesn't put any of the ketchup on the burger. He just dips it, which
I do that.
I do that too. I think that just means you're lazy.
Yeah, that's my go-to move, the laziness. You do the same ketchup pile for the fries and the burger.
Interesting. Though the weird thing with the commercial is, with that video, is that Andy Warhol takes the bun off the top of the burger, dumps the ketchup on the side, and then just puts the bun back on. There was no reason to take the top off the burger.
Was he checking for cheese?
That's a very artsy thing. But somebody did say this to me, which I thought was very funny. Somebody said, what's the alternative? I've always dipped. And he didn't answer me, but I said, you don't know the alternative? Like, I mean, how do you not know what the alternative to dipping your burger? I mean, you just put it on the burger. Like,
here's what I don't get, though. Eat like Andy. So are you ostracizing your customers who don't want to dip? Is that what you're saying? Like, I don't get what Burger King, what chips do they have on the table that's invested in dipping their hamburgers into ketchup? Why do they care about how I eat it as long as I'm just buying it? Unless it's just a way to somehow use old footage of a very respected artist to make your brand hipper. Well, that couldn't be it.
I think they're poking us and we did it. Just like they liked a bunch of tweets from 2009 and 2010 of major internet influencers. Geez, we talked about Casey Neistat in the first recording of this pod. I'm going to do it again. And they did it because back then they released funnel cake fries. And so they liked just hundreds of tweets from influencers. And so the influencers started talking about it. And then people started talking about Burger King and they were in the news for this, like all over the place. So I don't know. Burger King's got some crafty marketing going on there.
I don't think it's bad. I just didn't like this commercial because it's like you're saying, we know what they're doing, and now I'm hungry for Burger King. So it's kind of working, and it's also pissing me off, which it's hard to reconcile those two feelings.
This is a big Burger King pod too, so they played into our hands.
What about the what are the other ones? We got the NFL had that commercial. It was kind of cool, right?
It was a decent commercial. Yeah.
Took the world's biggest shoehorn and the world's smallest shoe and somehow put Ninja in there. Hello, fellow kids.
So they teased a clip of this on Friday or Saturday, and it's other people. It's a longer Ninja clip where there's older players like, was that Ninja? It's like Jim Brown's like, Ninja? They didn't do that. They just had him quickly give something to Juju Smith-Schuster, and then that was it. But yeah, he was shoehorned into it because it was all famous NFL players and then Ninja.
Like, legitimately some of the best athletes of all time. And then Ninja, who we love and respect.
Tyler Blevins.
But he just thrown in, like, you think about it, this commercial is getting you excited for 100 years of the NFL. The NFL said, this is our history. This is going to be a funny commercial about our history, and all the great players we have who are still alive are going to be in it, and it's going to be fun. But Ninja's going to be in here. And also, who is the woman in the red dress? I thought it was Elsie Fisher at first.
Yeah, I did too. I had no idea who was it after that, though.
I don't know.
I started doing the moves after.
I don't know.
So when Samurai Mike yelled ball, like, I'm a smile cracked ear to ear on my face.
I'm trying to look. I don't know. Don't know. What else? Anything else? Any other commercials? You know who tweeted during the game? I sent it to you guys. Fuck Jerry tweeted during the game.
Mm-hmm.
Elliot Tabelli, who's been run off social media, basically. He tweeted during the game.
Yeah, going down from 14.2 million to 14.1.
Good job, everyone.
way to go, folks.
It's one of those things where you're like, yeah, I don't like the general principle behind it, but then people will still follow them on their personal account because it's just a lazy way to get aggregated content.
Also, we have a breaking news tweet from John Legend. John Legend replied to Darren Revell's call out for Super Bowl headlines. And he went with Super Bore.
That's the New York Post headline for tomorrow. It's kind of funny the way they did it.
Are you saying John Legend plagiarized the New York Post?
No, that would be kind of wild if he did do that. But they did it like Super Bored in big letters, and then like in subtext at the bottom it says, and the Patriots won the Super Bowl. Pretty good.
You know, here's something else I gotta address. So I'm on CNN Business right now. Okay, so their winners: Bud Light, Game of Thrones, Google, Microsoft, Hulu, Disney, Kia. And by the way, that Kia Telluride looks awesome. Stella was one of their
winners. That commercial stunk, I thought, though. The Kia one, the factory worker one.
I mean, I don't know about the commercials, but they're like large SUV, like looks really nice. But then they put the Budweiser ad with the wind power one and the Clydesdales. And I feel like those ads year after year always get put up in there and people love them. It's like nothing. Well, yeah, but it's like the comfort blanket. At least, you know, year after year, you see some nice heartwarming Clydesdales. And then their losers were T-Mobile, which were basically just ripoffs of existing tweets. Audi, Michelob Ultra.
Pepsi. Oh, the Michelob was the ASMR.
Yes. Fuck that one, dude. Fuck that commercial.
It was Zoe Kravitz, right?
I don't know.
Who was in it?
I think it was Zoe Kravitz.
I don't know. My pop culture brain is like fried out.
Yeah, I think we're about done. Pepsi, though, they came out and just did the Domino's thing, right?
What, Zoe Kravitz? Yes.
Is Pepsi okay?
Fuck Pepsi. Fuck Pepsi. Go Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola didn't need a commercial. And on the flip end, Coca-Cola would have put on a better halftime show. There's
much better halftime show. Much better halftime show. Pepsi embarrassed themselves out there.
Actually, I tweeted it, and then I checked our group chat, and you had actually sent something very similar. You said, trust Pepsi to put on a shit show like that or something. Not your exact words, but that was the general gist. Fuck Pepsi. Pepsi is not okay.
They messed up. And plus, that commercial was just so perfectly like, let me grab three people that have like high SEO, like their names pop up a lot in the word cloud. So let's just take three random people with no relation and just no chemistry whatsoever and just throw them in one commercial and it'll work. Oh, and surprise, it doesn't. It didn't work at all. The commercial was lame and their halftime show was lame. So good job, Pepsi.
Fuck you.
Avocados.
Amazon. I thought their Echo commercial was actually pretty decent with Harrison Ford that. And they had who was in the hot tub? It was the
the hot tub one. That was still Amazon. Oh, it was the Broad City Girls.
Oh yeah, Broad City. Duh.
Lana Glazer and Abby Jacobson.
Yeah, They were in there. It was a pretty good commercial.
Harrison, ooh, order extra small condoms.
Oh, God damn it.
Get it again, dog.
Anything to get Harrison to act is impressive. How much do you think Harrison Ford got paid for that commercial?
Oh, my God. I can't even imagine.
Jeff Bezos.
Bezos gave him his favorite fuck shack.
The Chance the Rapper Backstreet Boys one, was that maybe the first or second commercial break. There is no concept to that other than combining two things people like.
That was
yeah,
brutal.
That's what I'm saying with the Pepsi one.
And actually, what was the Doritos product? I didn't get a good look at what the Doritos product they were hawking was.
Let me see. Flamin' Hot Nacho.
They already have it. They have Spicy Nacho.
This is Flamin' Hot.
Spicy Nacho gets it's like Flamin' Hot like Cheetos. Flamin' Hot.
It's at least 25 Schofield units above Spicy.
Let's get on to the next wings and whatever.
Oh God!
What's called where he interviews the people eating hot wings? That's a good show. I like that series.
Very good. He just had Gordon Ramsay on, and it's very good. Gordon Ramsay.
Oh,
yeah.
Hot ones.
Very good interview show.
What I like about that is they have the same sauces time after time.
Yes. And also, like, the fact that he interviews people that are, like, not just megastars. He interviews people that are up and coming. Like, I like his range of people.
There's a good one. I'm going to send it to the group right now. Just you can watch it for later. Just check it out. Just send it to the group.
Oh, my God. I didn't see his face. God damn it. I'm at my limit with this fucker, all right? I can't see his face anymore.
I won't say his name. We've already talked about him too much. But yeah, Gordon Ramsay is a really good one. It just came out. It was like the most requested person. And it was actually the Abby Jacobson and Alana Glazer. They just did one 3 days ago, funny enough.
The Gordon Ramsay one only after Ruth Bader Ginsburg. That's number one request.
His was really good. The Gordon Ramsay one, he's very funny. But the Jeff Goldblum one is fantastic. Mm. Fantastic. Jeff Goldblum is a fucking treasure.
So
I want to award an award for the commercial of the night that will age the worst. And that is the spiked seltzer commercial. I can't remember the brand. You remember that with the mermaids and their
mermaid
seltzer? And then the literal sharks were there, obviously spoofing Shark Tank, which requires you to have a cultural knowledge of Shark Tank. And in 10 to 15 years, when all that's forgotten, nobody will remember this commercial.
They didn't even have like a Barbara Corcoran shark. That's all I wanted. I like your product.
I did like the Michael Bublé one. That was kind of.
I've never heard of that thing before, but that brand before.
It's Pepsi's sparkling water.
Oh, go
bubbly.
Go figure.
Oh, that's kind of funny. I don't remember that one. Okay.
Try my new seltzer.
All right. Anything else? You're about to hear the rest of the podcast where we have a lot of wild and accurate predictions. that's about it. That's really just about it.
We went sicko mode tonight.
Yeah, we did.
Big time.
Big time. Big time sicko mode.
We went Mo Bamba.
All right. We're gonna cut back to the real podcast. But a trailer did come out before this recording, and that was Hobbs and Shaw. Hobbs and Shaw came out on Friday, the first trailer for the much anticipated buddy cop style duo between Jason Statham and The Rock. Idris Elba's the villain. Vanessa Kirby seems like the female lead in the movie. So we've seen a lot of pictures for a long time now. I feel like we've been looking at pictures for a year now of this movie. But the trailer was finally released, and it was awesome. It was a really cool trailer. But I will also throw another thing out here. It was way too fucking long. Way too much stuff was shown in this trailer. I was a little disappointed by that. There was one clip that I think was an entire scene, basically.
It was a long-ass damn trailer, right?
Very long.
It was like 3 minutes or something, but it was cool. I like the way they mixed in the music there too, like that beginning orchestra tune and with Idris Elba like becoming basically Captain America, and then they switch over to Hobbs and Shaw, just why can't we be friends.
Yeah,
I thought that was hilarious. And like the way they synced it up to like the beats of the song to The Rock just like elbowing people in the face in like some kitchen fight scene, I loved it.
I think this is going to be a good movie. Even if it's a turn off your brain type one where it's just you watch two people beat the fuck out of each other the entire time, that works with me. That's it's the key audience is just people that want to turn off their brain for a bit, or people whose brains are off by not by choice.
Yeah, my brain is default off, so I loved it. If I was to complain about one thing in the trailer, the narration, which it wasn't like a specific narration for the trailer, but it was obviously for the movie, where they just completely explained who Hobbs and Shaw was. Like, I understand. Okay, if you're not a Fast and Furious person, but I'm pretty sure you don't have to do all that for someone to get it. Like, they're two burly, attractive men who have to come together to beat a British bad guy. Like, what more can be said? Brixton, isn't it, mate? Brixton.
Introducing to join Hobbs and Shaw, Robo Chomo, here to join the fight.
It was 2 minutes and 57 seconds long. That's my biggest issue with it. I just think we saw too much shit, which maybe we didn't. I don't know. Maybe it's going to be a 2 hour and 45 minute movie and we only saw a little bit of it. But even like they showed a scene where The Rock descends down a building. And he does it on like a rope while Jason Statham does it in like an elevator he breaks. That's kind of going faster. And that's really cool. But, you know, I wish I would have seen a little less of that. And again, Kendrick, you said it's a long trailer. For reference, it's 25 seconds longer than a trailer that debuted on the Super Bowl last year, which came out a year ago, Monday, February 4th, Mission Impossible Fallout, maybe one of the greatest trailers ever made with the Friction song from Imagine Dragons. And then another two comparisons, the first Avengers Infinity War trailer was a full 32 seconds shorter, and then the second one was almost 40 seconds shorter. So like in like the grand scheme of a day, what does 30 seconds matter, right? But in a trailer, that's a lot of time. That's a ton of time in a trailer. So that was my only complaint. A little too much. Save some stuff.
What did he say right when he introduces himself to Vanessa Kirby's character? He's like, she's like, who are you? And he's like, bad guy. I like that. That's perfectly corny. I loved it.
Yeah.
So three scenarios. Let's talk about the three scenarios and what each scenario means for the Fast and the Furious franchise. Scenario one is this movie ends up being better than a Fast and Furious movie.
Yep.
Scenario two is it's an okay movie. And scenario three is it reeks. It sucks. If it's better than the Fast and Furious movies, does this increase the profile of the Fast and Furious movies, or does it take away from the main cast, knowing that The Rock will not be back?
They're going to have a lot of problems if this movie's better than the Fast and Furious, like episodic movies, which it's a tall task to beat the best of that series, because that franchise has some like a couple, two or three really good movies, like not like that really good in the grand scheme of like they should win awards, but like for action movies, they're really good action movies. Mm-hmm. So this one, if this one's better than most of them or all of them, the next Fast and Furious, which would be what, 9? They're gonna have some trouble with that one, I think.
Yeah, well, if it's average, then nothing changes, but if it's worse, then I think that Tyrese gets his vindication and we see him go off on social media.
Something I think to note though is that the director for this is the same one who did John Wick Chapter 2, Atomic Blonde, and Deadpool 2, and I think all four of those movies have had like premier action sequences.
Yeah,
so I think if you combine like the fight choreography and all that he was able to get out of those movies with maybe more light-hearted comedy writing, I don't know who is behind that, then I think this is going to be way better than a Fast and Furious movie, or at least better than the last few ones.
I think it's going to be different. I think the only thing that is going to make this one a Fast and Furious movie is the characters.
Yeah, and plus, they have superhumans now. They basically introduced mutants
right
into Fast and Furious.
Right. We got mutants here.
This franchise started off with them stealing cars.
Literally just stealing cars.
TVs. You remember that? They went up to that truck. They opened up the truck and you had like a huge haul, which was a 17-inch TV VCR combo.
It's like a Lenovo
box.
And then the next one, fucking Professor X is going to show up.
Just fight The Rock. Yeah.
They're Philips TVs. They weren't even good.
Yeah, they're like the bad kind. They're going to give The Rock like a fucking adamantium skeleton in the next one. I can't wait. Can't wait.
By the way, speaking of the X-Men, we've mentioned this on our radio show, Big If True, a couple times, because I've gotten two questions. Or Ken Jack had one, I got another, related to Michael Jackson. It was, what Star Wars character did Michael Jackson want to play? Jar Jar Binks. And then another one was, what Marvel character did Michael Jackson want to play? Or like MCU, and it was Spider-Man. I didn't know he also wanted to play Professor X. Did you know that? I read a story about that today. It's been out for a while, but I was like, what? When? Why? Why was that a thing? He just wanted to play every fucking character. I guess when you're that famous, you just feel entitled to just
play
whoever you want.
Yeah. Hello, Eric. How are you? Welcome to my mansion. Have you met Bubbles?
We must trust the humans. That was nice. You hit that note, man.
That's good.
Ow!
Well, this episode, you know, this episode is brought to you in part by Peter Millar. All of Peter Millar's products are made from the finest quality materials and unparalleled construction. When paired with their attention to detail, Peter Millar is the most comfortable clothing you'll ever wear. I think all of our audience knows this by now, but you know what? Can't talk about Peter Millar enough. Skilled craftsmen and artisans in the world, the best. Never looking, overlooking any detail. Never looking at anything but the small details. Mm. The quality of the buttons, zippers, stitching. It's the best in class. Trill, we all got some new stuff recently. Trill, Ken, Jack, we all got some new.
Yeah, it's wonderful. I
Peter
love
Millar.
It. Get fresh quarter zip. You know, Michael Jackson's red shirt was not Peter Millar. But I sometimes think about what it'd be like if he was just dripped out head to toe in Peter Millar.
Yeah. From the feel to the look, Peter Millar, it's just better. Just better stuff. I wonder if the ghost of Richard Jewell would have worn Peter Millar, that very famous character we had in our last episode.
That many people knew. Everyone knew who he was off the bat, and nobody had to Google it.
Head over to petermillar.com/lights today and experience his quality for yourself. Pick up a few of these performance sports shirts. They're offered in a multitude of colors and patterns, perfect for the office or the weekend. While you're there, make sure to check out some of our personal favorite styles. Use our link and you'll receive complimentary free shipping. And what do you receive with that free shipping, guys?
It's a hat.
You receive a hat.
I wear my hat. Got my little Peter Millar crown hat on.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's nice. It's Peter Millar, MILLAR.com/lights. Go there now. All right. Another clip is released. What?
I was going to say, because this is Miller. Peter Millar. That's a good song. That's a parody song we got to write, true.
Probably
Peter
should.
Peter Millar thriller song.
Ow! You're looking like the best when you're wearing that vest.
Damn it. Are they a fucking advertisement the rest of the week? No, they're not.
Damn it. Oh, fuck. All right. Well, we can save it for next week and write something really good for it.
That's a little tease. What else? Alita Battle Angel apparently fucking stinks. And not only that, it is supposed to lose a shitload of money from the creative visionary mind of James Cameron. It sounds like Alita Battle Angel is going to absolutely bomb. And it does have a Super Bowl trailer. So maybe the Super Bowl trailer will spark some ticket sales. I don't know. But, oh, boy, it's going to lose at least $100 million, it seems like.
The reviews don't seem all that bad, though. I've read some bad ones, but it still has a 5.7 out of 10 on Metacritic.
It's gone up then. It's gone up because at first the initial reviews were all terrible.
I still could see myself enjoying this movie.
Oh, like, you for sure.
100%. I think I'm in on this too still. It's one of those like, what was that Ghost in the Shell movie? I thought I was going to hate that and ended up thinking it was not enjoyable, but like passable. So I think if I could find that passable, I could find Christoph Waltz doing almost anything enjoyable.
When's the last time Christoph Waltz has been in a good movie? Horrible Bosses 2?
God,
actually, I like that movie. Let's just read them off. Alita Battle Angel right now, so we don't know that yet. Downsizing,
ugh. Oh,
terrible. Tulip Fever, terrible.
Yeah,
terrible.
So
Legend of Tarzan, awful. Spectre, if we're going off Rotten Tomatoes and Metacritic, Spectre is like right in the middle, but I'm gonna say no. Spectre's not a good movie.
Spectre was an okay movie, but it was such a disappointment that it made it bad in my eyes.
That was such a disservice to him as like a good villain for Waltz. Like, God, it was such a disservice.
I'm not Blofeld.
Just kidding.
Oh, psych. I'm gone.
Horrible Bosses 2, I think is funny, but I'm not going to say that counts because I know a lot of people don't like it. Then Epic, which...
Big Eyes
was okay. Big Eyes, nah, see, I didn't like Big Eyes. Big Eyes is okay, so we'll say Big Eyes qualifies as okay. Epic was not very good, and then Django. So it's been 7 years since he's made a movie that you could consider, I think the majority of people would consider to be very good. Mm. It's a while for a two-time Oscar winner.
Do you remember after Epic, he made that whole quote? He said, hold on, let me Google it really quick. He said, I'm going to make a change for once in my life. I'm going to feel real good, going to make a difference, going to make it right as I turn up the collar on my favorite winter coat. Trill got it, I think.
I'm looking at the man in the mirror.
What did he win his Oscars for?
Django and Inglourious.
I knew he won for Inglourious, but I don't remember him winning for Django.
The second one I don't think was as deserved. He just basically played his Inglourious Bastards character, a little less loopy. That should have been Alan Arkin from Argo. That was Argo, fuck yourself. That was a line everyone loved from that movie. Alan Arkin was incredible in Argo. I thought that was still, he was robbed of that one.
Argo, fuck yourself.
Jonah Hill.
What a ridiculous line.
Jonah Hill was so fucking funny in Django.
Yeah, right. I forgot about that. Mm. Was it him and Goodman? Fuck, was John Goodman not in Inglourious Basterds?
I don't remember him being in it, but he might have.
For some reason, I have a distinct memory of him being a Klansman in something.
Roseanne? I don't know.
Definitely was not that. Oh, it was definitely Inside Llewyn Davis. That's what I was thinking of.
That's a good movie. I like Inside Llewyn Davis.
Very similar to Tarantino.
Very similar feel.
All right, we have a quick ad read. We'll be right back to the Lights, Camera, Barstool live show. When you're selling online, getting your orders out the door quickly can be tough. That's why you need ShipStation.com. It's the fast and easy way to manage and ship your orders all from one place. ShipStation helps you get orders out quickly and keep your customers happy. Whether you're using your own website, Shopify, Squarespace, Etsy, BigCommerce, WooCommerce, or over 75 other popular selling channels, ShipStation brings all your orders into one simple interface, making them really easy to manage from any device, even your cell phone. Then use ShipStation to create shipping labels for all the top carriers, including UPS, FedEx, USPS, and more. No wonder ShipStation is the number one choice of online sellers. Right now, try ShipStation free for 30 days and get an additional month free only if you use our promo code, LIGHTS. Don't wait. Go to ShipStation.com before you do anything else. Click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in LIGHTS. That's ShipStation.com. Enter LIGHTS. ShipStation. Make ship happen.
This is former Atlanta Brave Chipper Jones, and you're listening to Lights, Camera, Barstool, live from Super Bowl 53 in Atlanta.
Thank you to Braves legend Chipper Jones. Really cool that Chipper rounded out our fun week here in Atlanta, live at the Super Bowl. Next up on our news list, we've got a couple more items, starting off with Batman. We broke this news, and by that I mean we read the news that someone else broke in the middle of our pod last week on Thursday. You know who threw his hat into the ring for Batman? Nick Jonas.
Just give it to one of those like young actors that most of us just aren't. It's going to be fucking Dylan O'Brien, like 100%.
Strong money on Dylan O'Brien. The strongest of money.
Hey, guys, it's me, the Batman, with my super high octave voice.
What was that graphic that I sent the other night? Someone tweeted out a graphic. Oh, here it is. Fandom. Oh, yeah. Who should be the next Batman? Taron Egerton. I could see him getting a look. I'm kind of out on Taron Egerton. Someone I don't know. I don't know even how to say that name. Not going to say it. Dylan O'Brien. David Mazouz. Who is that?
I think it's pronounced Missouri.
It's like they're trying to cast Batman. They're trying to cast a Batman who's Bruce Wayne as a singer-songwriter.
Yeah, Nick Jonas, Kit Harington. Hard pass. I don't think Kit Harington's a good actor. Very good at his main role of Jon Snow.
Yeah, I don't want to bring height into it, but when it's Batman, I think you want someone who's pretty big.
Yeah.
And I don't know how big Christian Bale is, and yeah, you can use cinematography, but both Nick Jonas and Kit Harington are not big guys.
No, no. Zac Efron, he's another one they put up there. And I want to be honest, I feel like Zac Efron might be an actually good, not a good choice, but like I think he is probably a front runner as well, along with Dylan O'Brien. Dylan O'Brien's the one that makes the most sense by a fairly good margin.
Ugh. I hate the visage of him as a badass, which is something we've said, at least I've been saying since we first reviewed American Assassin from last year, which is him as like an international assassin under Michael Keaton. And that movie stunk. Like, I just don't buy him as a badass. He just looks like a child.
What about John Barenthal?
Oh, I actually kind of like that a lot.
He's not young enough, though. Apparently, they're really trying to go like the Dylan O'Brien age. Like that's like the one thing that has been laid out there is that it's going to be somebody probably around the age of a Dylan O'Brien.
I just hate that. I hate it. I don't need a 25-year-old Batman, 27-year-old Batman.
Why not just let Joseph Gordon-Levitt do it? You know, he was teased to be the next Batman.
How much older or younger is he than John Barenthal?
I'm just saying in general.
20 years.
Like, that wouldn't fit the bill at all for what they're looking to cast. But I'm just saying, why not just go that route? He looks like he's a younger-looking guy.
Definitely not 20 years. John Barenthal's 42.
How old is JGL?
Probably 40.
No, okay. Just make Lucas Hedges Batman.
Or, ooh. I saw someone tweet that.
Jesse Plemons, our thick boy.
No, just Gordon-Levitt is 37. Yeah, which I guess makes sense. Third Rock from the Sun. I just don't know. But I know they're trying to go a much younger route. So it's...
But why don't they just do the Batman Beyond thing then? Where you have someone who's not Bruce Wayne being Batman. And you actually have an older Bruce Wayne.
You have... Who else here? What are some other people?
Daniel Radcliffe.
Then these websites, like, they just don't know enough young actors. They're like, what about Timothy Chalamet? No.
Ooh, how about the big hair guy from Stranger Things? Joe Keery.
Oh, they're going to say Gaten Matarazzo again.
Oh, no, much too young. Just the big hair man. I mean, he looks like John Raphael from Parks and Rec.
There's rumors that Armie Hammer is going to play Green Lantern, but I could all see Armie Hammer. He's 6'5". He's only 32. I could see Armie Hammer getting a look. I could see Armie Hammer getting a look for Batman. Speaking of Timothy Chalamet.
Who's that kid that plays the young doctor or whatever? On that CBS?
No, from ABC, good The Good Doctor.
Yeah, The Good Doctor.
Freddie Highmore.
What a ridiculous show. I just constantly see ads for it. I know I'll never watch an episode of that.
Barstool's Rough and Rowdy was sponsored by the entire Super Bowl week was sponsored by New Amsterdam Vodka, and I can't think about anything other than Tom from the Blacklist New Amsterdam show.
Yeah,
all I could think about.
I saw it on the Office the other day, just like the promotional material, and I was like, all I could think about is Blacklist Tom, our guy.
Nicholas Holt, that's another one that's been thrown out there.
He's not dark enough.
He's like 30 though, right?
Yeah, he looks young though. He has a young look to him.
What about the guy who, the older teenage actor from Hereditary? I want to say it's like Wolf or something. Like his last name is Wolf.
Oh, yeah. Nat Wolf.
Nat Wolf, right?
I think it's, is it him? I don't know. I can't see that at all.
He was like super scary and like dark in that movie, which is the only reason I think he might excel in that sort of role. But you have to beef up big time. I mean,
Charlie Hunnam. A beefy
role. Oh, just let's have enough Charlie Hunnam for a bit. I think he needs to like take a breather from movies for a little while.
Someone said Dan Stevens.
Okay, now we're cooking with gas. I would love Dan Stevens in anything in the MCU.
I know you like Dan Stevens. Yeah, I don't. This is tough. I think we need to know a little more about exactly what they want. But whoever it is, I'll make here. Tell me if this is a hot take or not. Whoever it is going to get absolutely fucking destroyed online.
Absolutely.
Like, there's.
100%. Unless it's like Rami Malek and then all the Rami Malek stan accounts will make it seem like he's the best.
I think, yeah, anything with a younger Batman is going to get destroyed. You could make, if you did an older Batman, you could probably, I think John Barenthal or someone like that who like has a very attractive yet like rugged looking face would do very well in terms of initial reaction. But younger Batman is just tough.
I like that pick. I like that. And honestly, I know people have their issues with Armie Hammer, but I don't actually dislike that too much. I do like John Barenthal, though, but I just don't know if that fits, or Armie Hammer fits the age, because like I said, the Dylan O'Brien name has been the one thrown out a lot.
No, man, we got to have our sexy young Batman.
Hello, it's me, Brian May from Queen.
Hello.
Please have Rami Malek as Batman.
Peace and love. Peace and love. I'm Batman. I'm just Batman from Liverpool.
The nominations for the Goscars, our award show, will be released a week from today. We're still going over them. We got some new categories this year, though. Very excited about them. Don't want to reveal all of them. I'll reveal two of them. You have most ham-fisted political reference. That's going to be a very highly contested category from this past year. And then best movie that will rerun on TNT or FX.
Hmm.
A lot of good candidates in that category.
What's the Bobby Cannavale Moynihan Award situation looking
well,
like?
Well, that's that's a tough one.
Yeah.
Here we go. You know what? Exclusive reveal of the first nominees for the Oscars. Best Bobby Moynihan or Bobby Cannavale in any role. The nominees are Bobby Cannavale, Ant-Man and the Wasp, Bobby Cannavale, Boundaries. That's it. Bobby Wait. Moynihan was not in a movie. Bobby Cannavale was only in two.
Can we give Bobby Moynihan an honorary mention for Kimmy Schmidt, even though it's a TV show? Because he was actually very funny in that.
Okay, he can't win, but he can be nominated.
He plays a men's rights activist. It's very funny shit.
Bobby Moynihan!
Poor Bobby. But yeah, we have a bunch of other categories, and we're going to fill out the nominees, and then we will release the voting for that. I don't know when we'll do the show, but we'll do it right around the Oscars happens. Maybe after the Oscars. Maybe we'll stunt on the Oscars and pick better winners when they inevitably cave and pick Bohemian Rhapsody to win. Yeah. Last bit of news, Javier Bardem added to Dune. Thumbs up. Pretty good casting. I mean, legendary actor.
Absolutely. Bardem's my favorite. I love that man.
You're canceled, sis. That video is so funny. Dude, that's a great cast. Like, this whole, they're not even done yet. Like, there's a lot more characters to go through, and they already have such an insane cast, like, outrageously good. And they have, like, probably, I would say, out of the current crop of, like, top-tier directors, like, someone that's easily in my top three. So, I would, like, I'm very pumped. Very, very pumped.
Yeah, I agree with you there.
Big cast, and they have to go big. We talked about it last episode. This can't be a small-time fucking thing. Maybe they can cast a couple unknowns, but something like Star Wars right now with like Daisy Ridley, John Boyega, they had the goodwill to do that. And not to say the story doesn't have the goodwill, but like they have to kind of go off with a bang to get this thing going. So I hope it's good. It's shaping up pretty great. The hype train is starting to move along pretty fast here. One more ad read. This episode brought to you in part by folks, 1-800-Flowers. What's right around the corner, guys?
It's Valentine's Day, Jeff.
Dunkin' Donuts? Oh,
yeah. you've probably all started thinking about Valentine gifts, and if you haven't, that's not great, but also pretty common. With 1-800-Flowers.com, it's really not that complicated. Roses from 1-800-Flowers are a no-brainer. Right now, when you order early, 1-800-Flowers has amazing deals on vibrant and romantic Valentine's rose bouquets, arrangements, and more, starting at just $29.99. To order Valentine's bouquets, arrangements, and more at that price, go to 1-800-Flowers.com, click the radio icon, and enter promo code LCB. I don't think we've had an LCB promo code before. That's cool. Order today and save at 1-800-Flowers.com, promo code LCB. All right.
I'm going to get my wife some Fortnite skins for Valentine's Day.
Hell yeah.
We should have gotten Bill Engvall or someone to do this 1-800-Flowers read. Since everyone loved my Jeff Foxworthy impression, everyone on the Reddit kept saying over and over again how great it was and spot on it was.
Yes, you sounded exactly like him in my eyes. So, yep. All right, here we go. I have this pulled up. This is going to be Super Bowl halftime show draft. This is the list I have in alphabetical order. Audience, Jeff, Ken, Jack, Trill. I'm now going to hit this randomize button. This will determine the draft order. Here we go. Ready? 3, 2, 1. I don't like that. I don't want to be first. That makes it look like I fucking rigged it. All right, we're going to do it again.
We can switch.
Oh, man. Okay,
Just do it again. Just do it again.
Third time. All right. Okay. Trill's first. Trill, you're going to have first pick. Audience will have second. I'll have third. Kenjek will have fourth, and it'll snake back to you for round number two. Kenjack, you said you really haven't watched most of these.
Yeah, not a big halftime show guy. I usually just turn the channel to something else.
Well, our friend Adam Levine is here. Are you going to watch his show?
Of course. He's best friend of the podcast. I can't not support my mans.
Okay, good. Good to hear. So, Trill Ballins, you're going to have the first pick here. First pick in the Super Bowl halftime show draft.
1-1. No question. It's Prince.
Mm.
Yeah. Okay. Here's why, though. Okay. First off, it's Prince. But second off, Prince got up and draped that screen over him. It had his silhouette, and he was playing his guitar like it was his penis at the Super Bowl halftime show. Fucking ruled.
Yeah, that is true. That's the best part. I mean, and his set list was great, too.
That because, you know, like I talk about it frequently. That was the Super Bowl. I saw my Colts get their Super Bowl trophy in. One of the worst Super Bowls I've ever watched from an entertainment standpoint.
That's true.
Aside from the Hester kickoff return, it wasn't very action-packed. It rained the whole time. There were some good plays, but it just wasn't all that exciting. People remember it mostly for Rex Grossman sucking it up rather than Peyton Manning winning it.
That was the year where Ted Ginn returned the opening kickoff for Ohio State and Devin Hester returned it for Chicago in the same year in the National Championship Super Bowl, and both teams lost.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, moral of the story, don't open your game with a kickoff return. All right. 2007, Prince played... He played We Will Rock You. Then he played Let's Go Crazy, Baby I'm a Star, Proud Mary, All Along the Watchtower, Best of You, and then ended with that incredible Purple Rain. And that's right, they had the marching band, the Florida A&M Rattlers marching band out there. All right, audience, their first pick. This was their number one choice, actually. Prince was number two, the Janet Jackson Super Bowl.
So. That was, yeah, so I'm assuming that they're getting this for the controversy, which was huge at the time, but it was... I remember sitting in my dorm room and it happened and I looked over at my friends. I'm like, did we just see a booby?
This is completely picked for the controversy. It's a not great halftime show.
Mm-mm.
Nothing very memorable besides not that moment.
Not great at all. And it is a shame how Janet Jackson got all the heat for this, for whatever reason, when everyone involved in it was in on it, in my opinion.
For sure. It's like, yeah, this isn't even a question for me. He got a lot of heat for last year, Justin Timberlake. Very far down on my list. We'll have to be in a bad spot for that to be one of my picks.
The only thing I remember about that is my 2004, I was 11, and my mom just didn't care. She was like, oh, see, it was a boob. Like, it was funny. Like, it didn't matter at all. And then, like, when I went to school, people were like, yeah, like, my mom, like, kicked down the TV because there was a boob on screen. Like, imagine getting, like, raised with, like, your like parents just getting flipping out over a fucking titty. Like, who cares, man? Yeah. Part of the human anatomy. Damn.
Jessica Simpson, Janet Jackson, P. Diddy, Nelly, who's done like three Super Bowls, Kid Rock, and Justin Timberlake. They did Choose the Party, All for You, Janet Jackson, Bad Boy for Life, P. Diddy, Diddy to the tune of Mickey from P. Diddy, Hot in Here, Mo Money, Mo Problems, Cowboy, Rhythm Nation, and then Rock Your Body was the infamous moment.
They really tightened up, obviously, after this moment, and because the next year,
Paul McCartney.
The next year they just went to the other end of the spectrum and got Paul McCartney, who is universally beloved and will not show his titty.
Yeah, it's typically what happens.
I mean, people have asked Paul McCartney a lot to show those Liverpoolian Beatle titties, and he will not do it.
No, I will not show you my titty joke, Paul McCartney.
I actually like that halftime show. My pick, this is a pretty easy pick for me. This was my number two. So my number one was Prince as well. So that was gone quickly. This would be the U2 Super Bowl halftime show, Patriots Rams. This is the 9/11 one.
Yeah.
It was beautiful day, MLK. And then he did Where the Streets Have No Name, and the banner behind him had all the victims of 9/11. That's still one of the coolest concert moments or just TV moments ever. It was incredible. It's still like goosebumps every time I see it. I would say that's 1A, 1B with Prince for Best Super Bowl halftime shows. That was incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And then U2 went on and threw their music onto everyone's iPod and the goodwill was lost. Ken Jack, you have the next two picks.
One of my top three are already taken, but I'll go Beyonce 2013 for my first one. Don't really remember it, but it's Beyonce. Can't really go wrong with that, right? And true. I think she did another one, right?
She did. She did too. She did another one with Coldplay and Bruno Mars for the 50th Super Bowl.
Okay, I'll do that one too. So I'm going to pick both Beyonce ones for 1A, 1B.
My theory with the Coldplay one was that they realized Coldplay was so boring, they had to bring back somebody who was good. That's, you know, it's same thing happened with Bruno Mars too, because Bruno Mars did it in 2014, the New York Super Bowl, and they just brought back Beyonce and Bruno Mars because it's like Roger Goodell or whoever's behind it, like, saw Coldplay for the first time and realized they just stand there and Chris Martin just kind of like jumps up and down like a rabbit.
The only thing he does as concerts worth anything is when he throws the big yellow balls out there when he plays Yellow. I think that's like,
I like it.
Dakota Johnson, or are you making that up?
He was married to Gwyneth Paltrow. What are you saying though, Trill?
I like in Fix You, he like spins this light in some performances and throws it out in the crowd during the crescendo of Fix You, which is a great Coldplay moment.
Yeah. The way they played it off is how, why I think you're right. They tried to make it seem like they were bringing Beyonce and Bruno Mars to like make a nod to 50 years of the Super Bowl and past halftime show performances. But like those are like two of the last three you had. It seems like you're just trying to say, like, you wouldn't have picked Coldplay if you wanted somebody to do a nod to all the other performances. You'd have brought back like a lot of the people. So,
and apparently the bands or acts that perform at the Super Bowl have to pay the NFL.
Yeah. That's why Taylor Swift hasn't done it, apparently.
That's so bullshit, man. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. All right. My pick. So Ken Jack cornered Beyonce there. Gets both Beyoncés. My pick, 2009, Bruce Springsteen. That's the Arizona Cardinals, Pittsburgh Steelers. This one, no boobs, but he did have his crotch shoved into a camera. Ooh. During a 10th Avenue freeze-out, he did his infamous slide across the stage and landed right into the camera. I like Bruce Springsteen a lot, so this was a cool one for me. He played, let's see here, what did he play? Played 10th Avenue freeze-out, Born to Run, working
Dancing
on
in the Dark.
In glory days. No.
He didn't play Dancing in the Dark?
Nope. He did not. 2013, Beyonce, by the way. She played Run the World, Love on Top, Crazy in Love, End of Time, Baby Boy, then Bootylicious with Destiny's Child, Independent Woman Part 1, Destiny's Child, Single Ladies, then Halo. Man, she played a shitload of songs.
Woo! I had to get a good pick there.
That is a good pick. She was very good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Coldplay one, not so much. They played Yellow, Viva La Vida, Paradise, Adventure of a Lifetime, great song. Uptown Funk, Formation, Crazy in Love, Clocks, and Fix You. Crazy in Love, not performing Jay-Z, it was Beyonce and Bruno Mars. Oh, it was Uptown Funk with part of it.
You remember what Adventure of a Lifetime is about, right? Rumored to be about? It's apparently about Chris Martin's short-lived relationship with Jennifer Lawrence.
Really?
Yeah, Google it. Anyway.
Yeah, I don't care enough to Google it. I'm sorry.
Just a little Coldplay fact for you.
Joe just hammering out the Coldplay facts. What's their kid's name? Apple?
And yet you don't know if he was dating Dakota Johnson?
I don't really pay attention to Chris Martin these days.
That's like the perfect couple, though. Just equally boring people.
I just watched Social Network the other night. Dakota Johnson slept with Sean Parker in Social Network, her character.
Hey, Chris, you want to go to brunch? Yeah, babe. I want to go to brunch.
I don't know why everyone's the Beatles.
Hello. I'm Chris Martin of the band Coldplay. We're just four boys from Liverpool.
Audience pick.
Viva La Vida.
Audience pick number two. They went 2014, the New York Super Bowl, Bruno Mars and the Red Hot Chili Peppers. He played Billionaire, Locked Out of Heaven, Treasure, Runaway Baby, Give It Away, Red Hot Chili Peppers, and then Just the Way You Are. Mm.
Yeah. I love the Red Hot Chili Peppers, but they are one of the worst live bands. Like, let me put it this way. Anthony Kiedis is not great vocally live. Flea is great live, and their guitarist, not Frusciante, but the one now. They're okay. But that Bruno Mars Super Bowl was good.
It was a good performance. It was the only like memorable thing from that game, which was one of the few really bad Super Bowls in the last 20, 25 years. The Super Bowls.
Is that where the Seahawks pounded the Broncos?
Yes. The Super Bowls have been mostly very, very good the last 20 years. Mm-hmm. There's like three or four that stick out as not good games. The Buccaneers, Raiders, Broncos, Seahawks. The one you mentioned, Colts, Bears was not very good. And then you could maybe say Panthers, Broncos. But even then, Cam Newton had the ball in the fourth quarter to take the lead or tie the game, I forget. And then he decided not to jump on the football and he fumbled. That controversial moment. Those are like the only four that you could call not good games. In the last 20 plus years. So Maybe we'll get a good one tonight, or it's already happened. But maybe there'll be a good Super Bowl this year. Next up, Trill, what's your second pick?
2017 Lady Gaga.
Live. Wow, okay. Oh,
damn.
Yeah, that was a good performance. At the time, I thought she actually bungeed into the stadium live, and it wasn't pre-recorded.
What's memorable.
I'm a brain idiot. Like, holy shit, that's real dangerous. And then she just green screened a jump and then rappelled down from a 20-foot platform or whatever. But I thought that was a good performance. I think Lady Gaga is, and we saw the clip from like Shallow the other night. Like, she is a fantastic live performer. There are a lot of artists and acts who don't sound great live, and Lady Gaga sounds really great live.
I wish she was playing this year because she'd play Shallow, but we are going to see at the Oscars in a few weeks.
Oh, imagine her and Cooper did the halftime show. That would be the Oscar like pre-trial of a century. It'd be amazing.
Yeah. She played God Bless America, This Land Is Your Land, and then Poker Face, Born This Way, Telephone, Just Dance, Million Reasons, and Bad Romance. That was the Patriots-Falcons comeback. 2017. All right. Audience, their next pick. They had Lady Gaga. That was their next pick. Which memorable meme, her jumping, memorable GIF meme, her jumping, bungee jumping. But their next pick, a more memorable meme.
Left Shark.
Yep. 2015, Katy Perry, the Left Shark Super Bowl.
Which Bachelorette contestant did that? Shit. I forget her name, but it was funny. It was a good gag. Very topical. Considering it came out like months after.
Yeah, she said it was a dolphin. That was the joke.
So
the joke was she was in a dolphin costume.
Left Shark, was that a designed thing? Or was that person just that bad at being in the shark costume?
They were apparently just that. It was Alexis Waters. That was the Bachelorette. It was apparently just that bad. That wasn't like a planned thing to have happen. And I think it's too small and like an irrelevant thing, but became very relevant for that to have been planned.
It's like the Fiji water thing from the Golden Globes. A few weeks ago.
She came out on a fucking giant lion to roar.
Oh, I thought you meant the Fiji girl for a second. I was like, I definitely think she's on a talk show though.
My pick. I'm going to go Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers 2008. Mm. That was the Giants Patriots upset. That was not very talked about, but it was a pretty good performance. And he had the stage split out across the field. That was also one of the ones with the live crowd on the field. I'm not going to mention which Super Bowl it was because I know we're going to talk about it. But one of the Super Bowl halftime performances bucked the trend of the live crowd on the field. And I thought that ruined part of the magic of the halftime show. But I'm sure we'll get to that momentarily. But the crowd is great. Stage moved. It was like a big heart. It was pretty neat. It was their logo. I like that one. I like that one. Ken Jack, round it out. Your last two picks.
So I'm kind of out of the ones I remember even remotely. I'm going to be firing from the hip here. But I remember from last year, Justin Timberlake came on the screen. I turned off the TV immediately. trying to look through the rest of these ones. Phil Collins and Christina Aguilera, Enrique Iglesias, and Toni Braxton sounds awesome, but I feel like the fact that I don't remember it at all means it's bad.
I don't remember that one, even a second of it.
Mm. Look at these other ones, like LMFAO, Nicki Minaj, and then previous to that was Black Eyed Peas. Like this, all of that sounds terrible. I'm going to say the Phil Collins one, and did the Aerosmith NSYNC one, the 2001 one, get picked?
No,
but that's a good one.
I'll pick 2000 and 2001
because that is a good pick.
That is one of the most early 2000s things that have ever happened.
That's a great crew: Aerosmith, NSYNC, Britney Spears, Mary J. Blige, and Nelly. It's a sick crew.
Nelly, man, he's performed in so many fucking Super Bowls.
Britney Spears was wearing like an Aerosmith T-shirt with like football pants. It's good costume.
Yeah, it is a very 90s, early 2000s looking halftime show. That their Super Bowl was the Ravens Giants. Another bad Super Bowl. So it's like five. Say like five out of the last 25 have been bad. That was bad Super Bowl. But one before that was the Phil Collins one was the Rams Titans. That was a Kevin Dyson Super Bowl, I believe.
That was great.
Which was the last one in Atlanta.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm going to make my last pick. I'm going to round out the whitest dad list of all time. Actually, no, because I'm not picking the Who or the Rolling Stones, but I'm going to go Paul McCartney. I actually really like Paul McCartney's performance. I thought it was a fun halftime show. Actually, let me read the songs that were played at the 2000-2001. Ken Jack, 2000, Reflections of Earth, Tapestry of Nations, Two Worlds, and We Go On. And then, let's see, 2001, you had Bye Bye Bye, I Don't Want to Miss a Thing, It's Gonna Be Me, Jaded, and Walk This Way, with a pre-recorded intro and skit involving Ben Stiller, Adam Sandler, and Chris Rock.
What the hell was the skit?
That rules.
That does rule. Damn.
How have we never heard of this? I feel like I never saw this at all, or a skit for that matter.
We actually have heard of this, Ken Jack. I mean,
you specifically, Trill. How have you not heard of this?
You're 7 years old when it happened.
Yeah, I'm going Paul McCartney.
Can I just before that's a good pick. You can't go wrong with Paul McCartney.
The Hey Jude ending was incredible.
Yeah. I did want to shout out the 1993 Super Bowl with Michael Jackson, because that it kind of changed the perception on it. But the boss shit that he did, he exploded from the stage and then just stood there for like 8 minutes.
It's incredible.
Just standing there. And, you know, like, that's the most valuable ad time in the world. He's just standing there.
Also, Diana Ross, her Super Bowl halftime show in 1996, she left the stage in a helicopter. The helicopter came down on the field, picked her up, and she flew off. That's as good of an exit as it gets.
I can't believe that that was Super Bowl 30. It was played in Sun Devil Stadium.
Holy shit.
That is crazy. Yeah.
Jeez. The Super Bowl, even in the last 20 years, has become like such a way bigger production in general. And it always was a big production, but the lengths they've taken it to, like, they didn't do it this year, but the halftime entertainers having fucking press conferences sponsored by Pepsi.
And they usually sing a song too. They usually perform a little bit. Last pick of the draft for the audience, the Super Bowl halftime since 2000's draft. They're going to go with Justin Timberlake, 2018.
Wait, they chose that, like, voluntarily?
Was next on their list? I mean, that was number 10 on their list. I mean, we've taken a lot of the good ones before that.
That should have been like last place, although I can't really speak on it. I don't know. I haven't seen enough of them, but that stunk.
Trill, you have the last two picks here. There are five left. Five left.
Yeah. So I got two picks. I thought I made three. Okay. So I'm going to take the Madonna one, because I didn't think the Madonna one was really all that bad. Like, it definitely is getting picked in the correct spot at this list. But I didn't hate it, you know? What did you guys think about the Madonna one? Do you even remember it?
I only honestly remember it's mostly well-known for MIA. She flipped off the camera.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That she flipped off the camera. Yeah, got in a lot of trouble.
The thing about it is that I don't remember anything about it, but I trust you, Trill, because you have good music taste.
I remember LMFAO coming out was hilarious, but like in a bad way.
I was at a wedding in 2010 and Party Rock Anthem was played five times.
That same period they used to do those viral videos where like people would come out to the weddings to songs. Was that one of them?
They're like a wedding flash mob.
Yeah, well, fuck, what was that one? Like the
it
one?
Was
One, yeah, two,
three, four. Oh, but fuck,
Chris Brown forever.
Yeah, forever. Yeah. Brown. Oh, God,
and then The Office spoofed it. Remember?
It's because The Office. Yeah, that's why it's also very popular. She performed Vogue, then with LMFAO, Music, Party Rock Anthem, Sexy and I Know It, Give Me All Your Lovin' with Nicki Minaj and MIA, Open Your Heart and Express Yourself with CeeLo Green, and then Like a Prayer with CeeLo Green.
And I gotta say, the choices I have left just suck. So I'm gonna go.
They're terrible.
Like, what's left are probably, and we'll talk about the remnants after I pick this.
Wait, so this is airing after tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to take a risk and just take Maroon 5?
Yeah, I will, because I am a full believer that they will do the SpongeBob thing.
Which they 100% are. 100% doing it,
which I don't personally care about, but I think for a lot of people that will make it one of the most Lee epic bacon Super Bowl performances of all time, and therefore I'm gonna take a risk on Maroon 5.
Okay, so here are the four that did not get picked: The Who, which was the Saints Colts Super Bowl, which I remember looking at the stage, but that's all I really remember. The Rolling Stones, which was the Steelers Seahawks Super Bowl, the Jerome Bettis Super Bowl in Detroit, that was Super Bowl 40. I don't remember much of that one either. The Black Eyed Peas, 2011.
The worst one.
I can remember.
Hands down. Not even close. And that was the first one. That's the one that bucked the trend. That took the people off the field, and it had just like dancers and shit, and it just didn't look right. And then Shania Twain, No Doubt, and Sting from 2003, which would have been the Raiders and Buccaneers.
I like Shania Twain.
Yeah, not bad, but I don't remember it. That's the problem. I can't rank it because I don't remember it. But like in terms of being bad, I can remember the Who one. Like I like some of the Who songs. Like Bob O'Reilly's a great song.
Yeah.
I don't appreciate the Who like I think classic rock stands appreciate the Who, because I think most of everything else they have is just good to okay. But they're what, 67-year-old guys? And Paul McCartney's an aberration. Like I've seen Paul McCartney live. It's incredible. He gets up there for 3 hours and performs every single song. It's just a different energy. And then the Rolling Stones, I don't know, whatever.
I like the song Pinball Wizard, but it is hard to open up a Super Bowl halftime show with Pinball Wizard post-2010, I feel like.
The Black Eyed Peas is just the worst one I've ever seen.
I'll read off what they sang. I Got a Feeling, Boom Boom Pow, Slash came out, and him and Fergie played Sweet Child of Mine, Pump It, Let's Get It Started. They use the version that is politically correct. Still shocking the other version even exists. Oh My God with Usher and Will.i.am. Where Is the Love? And then The Time I Got a Feeling reprise. That's how they closed it out. Yeah.
Isn't it funny that, okay, so the Black Eyed Peas come out and they basically do I Got a Feeling twice.
Yes.
That's what they have to do. I Got a Feeling is their biggest hit ever. That's where most people know them from. And they had to do it twice. Like, well, we need a song to open it up. We've only got one song. It's really good. We need a song to close it out. Well, it's that same song.
Black Eyed Peas. No thanks. That's what I say. All right. So let's read them off. I have U2, Bruce Springsteen, Tom Petty, Paul McCartney, True Love, Prince, Lady Gaga, Madonna, Maroon 5, Kendrick has Beyonce / Coldplay, Aerosmith, Phil Collins, Bruno Mars too. You have Coldplay, Beyonce, Bruno Mars. Audience has Janet Jackson, Bruno Mars, Katy Perry, Justin Timberlake. Yeah.
Any big predictions for tonight's show aside from the SpongeBob one?
No, but that's definitely going to happen. That's going to happen. There's been some reports. I asked around. I kind of got it wink, wink confirmed. And then someone just tweeted a fucking picture of it anyway, because somebody videoed through the glass at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And I guess you could see it on the Jumbotron. There's no reason to not play it. I mean, first of all, many people watching won't understand what the fuck's going on. Let's put it that way. But for the sake of a viral moment and being memorable, they should definitely do it.
Smart. It's smart in that sense. I'm interested to see how Travis Scott's going to perform alongside Maroon 5. Like,
and Big Boy.
Big Boy is one of the best hip hop artists who has ever lived. So I have no doubt like whatever he does is going to be awesome. But I'm not all that familiar with Travis Scott outside of Sicko Mode. So I just like, are they going to play Sicko Mode at the Super Bowl?
I would imagine yes.
Baby, I'm playing some Sicko Mode. Just like Sicko Mode, Sicko Mode,
not Mo Bamba.
You know, actually, Travis Scott, like a weird fact I saw in him once is that he can guess the flavor of any Jamba Juice item just by drinking it. Like his girlfriend at one time or whatever worked for Jamba Juice, and he just knows all of the Jamba Juice items.
Oh, so it's like the name of the smoothie. I thought you were going to say like he can taste bananas.
No. He knows the name. Yeah.
Fucking beast, dude. He fucking tastes fruits. What a monster.
That's fucking epic. Banana. That's the banana boat.
I taste apple in this one. God damn, Travis Scott. Fuck me, King.
Sicko Mode. That's what Sicko Mode is doing. It's Sicko Mode is just being able to guess fruits.
Guys, eating a nutritious breakfast of fruits and vegetables. That's the real Sicko Mode.
I'm wondering what Big Boy will do. Because you think about the audience that's watching it, probably only really... Okay, I'll take this back. A lot of people watching it probably only have heard, I Like the Way You Move. I'm not trying to like undersell the importance of Outkast. Outkast is like...
I do wonder, though, if there'll be some sort of Outkast thing happening.
Like, to get three stacks on the stage?
Yeah, Big but Boy? why would they not announce Outkast together with Andre 3000? That's the thing.
Does he not, Does he not go by Andre 3000 anymore?
No, he does.
What did I hear? Hold on. I might be totally wrong on that.
I think it would be a cool moment to, like, if they got three stacks up on there and they did Miss Jackson live with Maroon 5.
That would be very cool.
I could see that working really well with a band. Although, like, it's weird, you know, Maroon 5 obviously still a band, but since Maroon 5 feels like they've gone more electronic in instrumentation, like, I wonder if for some of the songs, are the guys just going to stand around?
I have a decent feeling it's going to be enjoyable. I'm trending in the right direction on this one. Again, it's already fucking happened, so we could sound really stupid. Before we go, though, and Jimmy has to introduce Adam Levine a second. He's going to be playing Animals to round out our Super Bowl live show here. Audience been on their best behavior today. Super Bowl predictions on the spot. You got to give me the score. No, first song Adam Levine will perform. This is on the spot. We haven't talked about this at all. I haven't even thought about it. First song he's going to perform, winner of the game, score of the game.
I think he's going to open with Sugar. I kind of want to say Animals because that has like the I'm going to go Sugar, maybe Animals, but I'm going to say Sugar officially. And I think the score is going to be 35-14 Patriots.
Okay, 30. So Patriots, and you're going 35-14.
I'm going 35-14. And I think it's going to be even further apart than that. I think the 14 is going to come like, It's going to be like 24-7 most of the game. I don't know how it gets from 24 to 35.
So that would be the rare blowout. That'd be the rare blowout.
We've had a good stretch of Super Bowls for
last year was an all-timer. The last two.
And then the one before that was good too.
Oh, right? That's right. The Malcolm Butler. Yeah. So we are. Yeah.
So I feel like we're due. I feel like we're due for a clunker. And I just think that, I just personally, the Patriots have destroyed me as a human being.
Yep. I understand that. Actually, I can't relate because my team has just stunk and doesn't play them ever. I'm going to go Animals. As somebody who's become a connoisseur of Maroon 5 live performances this week by having to search for them for this podcast, not because we spliced them in, because they are actually performing during this pod. I'm going Animals. Animals has a drum beat to open up the song, and that feels like the proper opening of a Super Bowl halftime show.
Yeah, you're right. I wish I would have said Animals. Another question to piggyback off that. Do you think they'll do any like pre-2010 stuff? Like any songs about Jane material would fit on there? Like maybe a medley where they do...
A medley. That's a good call.
Like they do a medley where it's... what are the ones like on songs about Jane? Like... The ballad She Will Be Loved, but the two ones is Somebody to Love.
Yeah, let's see.
When it's dark outside and you need somebody to love. Whoa.
Songs about, I'm gonna read all the songs off.
Harder to Breathe. So
Harder to Breathe.
Harder to Breathe and
Miss Love.
Yeah, I think they'll maybe do a medley of those.
Okay, that's actually a good call. The medley is a popular choice. That's what basically what Beyonce did. She did a bunch of shorter versions of her older song. Beyonce did a massive set list. Timberlake's is a little pared down. I'm going to go Patriots as well. I think it's going to be a high-scoring affair. I'm going to go 34-31 Patriots. 34-31 Patriots. I think maybe a late touchdown from Tom Brady. They're going to go, we'll say it's 31-27 late. Tom Brady scores. Rams can't close it out. Patriots win. Ken Jack, what song are you going with for Maroon 5 to open? And then what's your game prediction?
I'm going to go with to start. I'm stuck between Girls Like You or This Love. I think Girls Like You is too new. So I'm going to say they start. No, actually, they're going to lead into This Love. I'm going to say Girls Like You to start. And I'm going to say final score, Rams win 28-23.
Okay, so you're going Rams. Smart pick. You got to buck the trend there. I've said buck the trend like 10 fucking times this episode. You got to go a little different. So you give yourself some separation on Girls Like You. All right. Okay. A lot of prop bets out there. There's one website that has a prop bet how many times Darren Revelle will tweet during the game. There's another one, you know, what song will they perform first? I'm very excited to hammer that one. My favorite prop bet is Gronk 50 yards or more receiving. I think easy he's getting 50 yards plus. But very excited. All this could have been asinine. These could have been terrible predictions because, again, this is being posted after the Super Bowl. That's it. Anything else? Last minute thing before we go and go about our Super Bowl Sundays.
I'm good, man. Let's have a good week at the Super Bowl.
Thank you to IKEA.
Yeah.
Thank you to the Atlanta Hawks Bar and Grill in Atlanta Hartsfield Jackson International Airport.
All our guests, too.
Yeah, thank you to, where the fuck did we, Bojangles. Bojangles in Decatur.
Yep.
Yeah, they're great. Thank you to Ellen DeGeneres.
Yep.
And thank you to Jimmy Fallon, Ken Jack, Trill. Trill, you want to end it?
Have a good week at the box office.
Take it away, Jimmy.
Give it up for Maroon 5!
Side, 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 side.